right here, small one. I'll tell you a quick story about it while you're finding Galatians chapter 1. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I had a teddy bear that had a bell in the middle of it. Stop laughing. And it rung, and it was kind of real, it was bottom heavy. And I like to throw it in the air. And I threw it in the air one time, and I hit this light cover, and it busted it, and it came down, and two pieces of the glass hit me on both shoulders, or shoulder and forearm, and I got stitches, and it left a scar. So I used to tell my friends, "Look, see that right there? Took a 4-inch piece of glass right there to the arm. And I survived it. Look at them stitches, right?" I could just imagine in eternity Jesus showing us his scars, because he's the only one in heaven that's going to have scars on his body. He's going to say, "See these? See this one? See these on my feet?" That's when I was saving the whole world. And everybody will be sitting there going, "Thank God for those scars." Amen. Scars tell a story. His scars say, "God, because you were messed up, scarred, and broken, I got broken, scarred, and messed up to save you." Amen. Ain't that good? Golly, I don't know if y'all get excited about stuff like that, but I sure do. I was going to read this thank you card, but I dropped it on the way. "To everyone at Flat Top Church, thank you so much for all the love you've shown our family. Thank you for the beautiful flowers that you sent on our mother's invitation and the food as well, or visitation. We were deeply blessed by your kindness." From Carol Cheek member Kelly Ferger. Carol's sister, "May God bless you and your church." So we appreciate that. Appreciate the church doing what it does. I was kind of intimidated. I know I get intimidated sometimes by scriptures that God gives me. I love Old Testament. I love the story. I can see Christ in the Old Testament. I see characters. I love that kind of thing. I love the Gospels because I can see how Christ works. I see the characters. Sometimes I struggle with teaching on Sunday morning, like Paul's writings to the Galatians, Ephesians. I sometimes desire to be like, "Well, I'll just put that to Sunday night or Wednesday night, and that way if I mess it up real good, it'll be less people I mess up in front of." But anyway, I had to break this down. God gave this to me and said, "This is what I want you to preach." There was a couple of times during the week where I thought, "Man, no, I like this right over here." And somebody would say something, and God always brought me back to this letter. And I just had to go back in my mind when I was younger, and some of the younger generation might know what this is, but we used to write letters to each other. Hey, man, I know that's weird, and it's not a text. It's not like that. It's a love letter. Y'all remember what a love email is? Some of y'all are shaking your head, so I guess I'm relating to some. I used to like love letters, right? I think I like the sending of the love letter as much as getting. You know what I mean? Feel like a mission impossible, right? Send this to so-and-so and pass it to so-and-so, you know? Anyway. But you get the letter and you start reading it. And you read it the first time because you're just excited. "I got a letter, all right." All right? And you read the whole letter. And then after a few weeks, you're reading every line, right? Because you want to see, especially those ones, you know, got the double underlines, triple underlines, XOXO, hug kiss, hug kiss, hug kiss. Yeah, sorry, Peyton, sorry. All right, so then that's where this got me to this morning, Galatians. This is a love letter written from God through Paul to us. So if I can relate it to that, I can see now how rich it is, right? And I was hoping to get 11 verses this morning, but that's not going to happen. We're probably going to get 3, maybe 4, okay? Come back tonight if we're going to get into some more stuff in this same letter tonight. 2 services, a great good news letter, amen? A great love letter. Paul, that's where it starts, Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 1, it starts out with Paul, an apostle. Is that what you're seeing? Good. Paul, an apostle. "Not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul said, I am qualified." Amen? I am qualified. I am an apostle brought out a new season. I was one who met him last, but I met him nonetheless. I was on the road to Damascus, and I met Jesus Christ who outshined the sun. And he called me to this purpose. It wasn't a person, or it wasn't the mechanism of men that made me have a purpose. It was Jesus Christ and him alone. What he was saying, listen, I'm qualified, and the message of the gospel is absolutely good. Y'all need to know that. The messenger is good if you're called, and guess what? The gospel message is absolutely true, and it doesn't come from anywhere other than Jesus Christ, him crucified, him buried, him resurrected, and God saying, I'm well pleased with that, and puts a stamp on it. I'm preaching to you. I want you to get this. Verse 2, and it says, all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Now, I want you to get this. I don't know why you're here, but I hope you're here because God has you here. And I don't just mean at church. I mean whatever you're doing in your life, I hope that God has called you and sent you. This helps me discern everything I do. See, everything I used to do in my life was about me. It was self-centered, self-serving. It was towards me. And then I met Jesus. And he sent me on a path. He set me on a path. He ordered my steps. If you're sitting here because God wants you here, awesome. If you're doing what you're doing because God has called you to do it, awesome. But if you're sitting here and you don't know God, everything we're doing is going to seem weird. Because guess what? All the messages are about Him. All the songs, about Him. All the classes we do, about Him. Our lives are about Him. Because once you meet Him, you can't unmeet Him. Once you know Him, you can't unknow Him. Once he jumps in you, you can't just say, well, I'm just gonna go through life the way I was because now I got this insurance policy. I've got this assurance policy. God is not an insurance policy. Oh, man, I'm preaching better than y'all. Hey, God is not somebody who gets in your life and then all of a sudden signs off on the rest of your life and just says, go live it any way you want to. He's bigger than that. The old statement was, this little girl went to revival when she was about 4 or 5 years old, and she got saved, and when she got on the altar, she prayed, she God, forgive me of my sins, be the Lord of my life, and all of a sudden, the preacher leaned over and said, now you have Jesus in you. And she was perplexed, and she went home. She said, I know Jesus called me up to that altar, and I know I prayed to accept him as my Lord and Savior, but that man said something, Mama, Daddy, that kind of worried me. Said, what is it? He said, now you got Jesus in you. And I know Jesus is bigger than me, God. I mean, Mom and Dad, shouldn't he be sticking out? And obviously, the answer is yes. Because when Jesus gets in you, he'll stick out of you. People start saying stuff like, what happened? Where you been? What happened to you? You don't look the same, even though you look the same. Amen. You don't talk the same, even though you sound the same. Amen. Anybody? That's what it looks like. Paul was saying, there was a day that I met Jesus. And since that day I met Jesus, I've been on the road telling people about Jesus. On the road. What road? The road of life. And I'm going to tell you, can I just preach to you real quick? The road with Jesus looks different. Get ready. Get ready. When you get saved and you get on fire for God and you want to follow Christ, He will take you. You'll see it. And you're like, that's what I... And all of a sudden, God likes to take U-turns and back roads and uphills and downhills, bad weather, good weather. I mean, I would never, ever, ever choose that road. Amen? I remember when I first got called to preach, I was riding down the road looking at churches going, that one, Lord, that one. That one's going to be the one. I'm going to probably end up preaching right there. I'd go by minister. Man, that's going to be me right there, Lord. God's like, you're silly. You're silly. You won't see an inside of a church for many years from now, brother, that you're going to be preaching in. Amen? You're going to preach to people. I remember one time this guy called me. He said, hey, Kevin, hey, will you come down here and preach for me? And when I first started preaching, this is what I said. God, I'll go. If I ain't got an appointment already, I'll go, no matter what. This guy goes, okay, will you come down here and preach for me? I'm like, yeah, baby, where are we going? He said, I want you to come down here to this place. It's a restaurant right off the side of the highway. Huh? Restaurant on the side of the highway? Okay, so a bunch of church people are going to be there, and I'm going to preach to them while they eat? That's good. They ain't going to leave. Oh. I said that. He said, no. This lady in this restaurant loves us to sit up, and we just preach. They're right on the major, right on the highway and right next to the interstate, and they get all kinds of traffic. She's just a brand new born-again Christian, and she wants fiery Christians in there singing and preaching on Tuesday night, and you're the second one to go. Praise God, we want you to come. And I'm sitting there, man. I'm sitting in this little back room, and I can see all these people piling in to eat because it was good food, good country food, and they come in, three meat and three vegetables, and all of a sudden, they're piled in, and man, they're like, they're in, they're locked in, they're waiting on their orders, and they're up there singing, and man, the singing was smooth, it was good, and I was a fire, I used to be on fire, believe that. I used to be fiery when I preached. It helped somebody say, you still are a preacher. But none of you, not one, all right? So I'm sitting in the back, man, in this little room, and I can look out these little slat windows, and I'm looking out, and I'm thinking, man, this is too smooth for me. They don't need me. I'm going to be, and I was thinking to myself, tamper down. Just tamper it down, Just kind of like be one of them TV preachers. Just kind of like smooth it down. Simmer down. Use your volume like your inside volume, which I don't have. And I knew I didn't have it. And they said, all right, Kevin, it's your turn. Just give them what you got. Red volume all the way off. I'm preaching. So I'm going up and down and up and down inside the church, restaurant. And this guy, I could tell, he is looking desperately for the waitress. He's looking at me and looking at the waitress, looking at me and looking at the waitress. He's like, I want to cancel my order now. I didn't sign up for this. But he had two kids, and he was locked in the center, and he was looking right at me. And I could tell, he's like, you, this is bad. And man, we got down to the end. There was people praying and asking Christ to be their Lord and Savior in a restaurant. And that man, he sat there the whole time, and I could just tell, I could read people like that. He was just like, get me out of here. But somewhere in the midst of that and the word, all of a sudden, he got locked in. All of a sudden, he's looking back at me, and he's like, amen? He came to get something to eat, but God said, no, I'm going to give you something else. See, when you get radical about God, He'll show up in the craziest place of your life. He'll take you and use you in places that you never, ever imagined you would be used. See, you'll want platforms and you'll want titles and you'll want offices, and all God wants is you to say, give me a blank check with your life and let me send you where I will, and I will take care of you in the process. I will make you into who you will be. And that's what Paul was saying. I'm established. I'm established, and the gospel is established. And that's all Paul cared about is the gospel. That's all I care about is the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. Paul slides something in. Are y'all ready? We're about to get in the message? All right. Watch this. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just a greeting, ain't it? Paul just sent a greeting, simple greeting. We should move on. But this is a love letter. And I've read it a few times, so now I'm looking at the details. So God, through Paul, says, grace be to you. Hello. Grace be to you. Oh, let me say it the way I would say it then. Unmerited favor from God, even though you're a wretched sinner, even though you're unworthy and you could never be worthy and there's nothing you could ever do, I give you love, I give you forgiveness, I give you salvation. grace. Peace, look at this. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. First he starts, he slipped this in. He slipped it in. Y'all didn't even, man, I'm telling you, when you read it the first 25 times, it says, yeah, my God, this is sneaky good. One, you really got to get a hold on. If you've got the grace of God, this thing right here will hit you like a ton of bricks. Because all of a sudden you'll be sitting there, see, some of you might want to say, when you get grace, you get peace. When you get the great, when you understand the grace of God, you understand the peace of God. And I've just been around church long enough now. Did you get that weird thing? Like when you say, when you get saved, you get peace, and everybody goes, amen, brother. That's right. I got peace with the man upstairs. I'm not talking about that weirdness. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you and God being buddies. Amen. I'm not talking about God is just up in heaven and you made a deal with him and it's all right. And guess what? Hey, we're all right. You know what I mean? Now listen, some of y'all are going to be mad at me right there, but I don't care. God's bigger than that. God didn't just want to make peace with you for you can be buddies. He wants to be everything in your life. Amen? He wants to be so big in your life that you systematically changes everything about you and everybody around you. He wants to be so big in your life that people hesitate to come around you because God is so big in your life. They think about, well, do I really want to? Amen? But let me slip this in on you before you say amen to just having the peace of God. I wrote some things down last night. I couldn't sleep. My hand was writing, and my body was trying to go to sleep. My hand kept writing. So I'm going to read these off this note just to make sure you get it where I can get it, right? Listen to this. You will know the peace of God. Don't say amen too quick. That's what I wrote. Watch this right here. There is a peace with God, not some silly got peace with him upstairs, a real peace like God loves me peace. Like God loves me peace. Before I knew him, I thought he was a scorekeeper. Before I knew him, I thought he was somebody who couldn't stand me. And he was trying to judge me and condemn me. And he was somebody that I couldn't ever measure up to being. But when I got grace, then I got this peace of who God is that guess what? He loves me. It's easy to say, it's easy for me to say, Jesus, God loves you, but sometimes it's hard to understand why God would love somebody like me. Golly, can I tell you, y'all are so clean and so pretty and perfect and y'all look good this morning. Is there anybody in here that sometimes wonders, does God love me? You ever think, man, does God love some of the people that are in my family as much as I do? Do you know God loves everybody in your family as much as you do? More? He's not forgot about them. He's not forsook them. He's not sitting up in heaven wringing his hands going, I don't know what to do with that son of yours. I don't know what to do with him. He's gotten out from under my eyes, under my control, and I just can't get him. No. I don't know about that daughter of mine. I don't know if God loves her as much as I do. It don't seem like it. It just seems like God's letting her run and run and run and run and run and run and run. Sometimes when you catch a fish, you got to let it run. Amen? And let it run all the way out until it realizes I can't run no further from God. God loves them just as much as he loved you. And I wish there was some people in here. Man, y'all are so cool. I wish there was some people in here that could be real every once in a while and say, yeah, he let me run out too. No. Y'all, I ain't a big fisherman. Derek, I'm not a fisherman. But let me say this. Some fish, when you get them hooked, they go deep. Huh? They go deep. They go dark. They go to places and get up under things. Things they shouldn't have been, things they know better, but they're trying everything because they can't tell what the atmosphere is going to be like outside of what they know. Were you afraid to get saved? I didn't know what Christianity would look like. How will it look on me? I can't see it. How will I talk? How will I walk? How would I have a good time? How could I do the things that I want to do? And I would run from God, and I'd go deep. But God, He's got one of them kind of hooks. Once it's hooked you, you're caught. Hey, you just don't know it. God loves you. God loves the person. Man, once you get the peace of God, is there anybody in here that's got it? You found God and you're sitting there going, man, when I found out He loved me. Man, when you realize God loves you the way He loves you, it gets weird because then all of a sudden you realize the most powerful thing in the universe is in love with you. And it changes everything. What's this? God is not my enemy. Hallelujah. How many of you fought against God? He's hard to fight against. It looks like this. If you had a big brother, say I did, he's 3 years older than me, and sometimes he'd put me on my back and he'd put his knees into my shoulders and he would let spit just like hang from his mouth. I know it's not a pretty scene, but it happened. You ought to be on the other end of it. And I had no control. I couldn't get up. I was like, get off of me. You know what? when I was fighting against God, sometimes He put me in positions where I was flat on my back. All I could do is look up, and I was sitting there thinking, God, will You get off of me? I will when You surrender. I will when You quit fighting me. I'll get off of it. I just want to say I'm not. But man, once you get saved and the peace of God rolls in and realize He's not fighting against you, He's fighting for you. Hallelujah. I don't have that God who's fighting against me anymore. God whispers to me and says, I am with you. And with you we can do it all. There ain't no enemy that's going to wear you out. There ain't nothing, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The enemy is raising up weapons, but I have already stopped the weapons. Praise God. God is not my enemy. God is right. Once you get saved and get the grace of God, you know what you surrender? Know it all. Hey man, if this is hitting you, come on the altar. If you're still saying, well, God's word and God this and God that, listen, when I first got saved, I got in this book and I started reading. I said, God, You're right. Period. About everything. Period. There's nothing in this book. If He calls it right, it's right. If He calls it wrong, it's wrong. He says, do it, do it. He says, don't do it, don't do it. I'm going to be honest with you. Your life will be pretty good. Amen? But I just surrendered. I run into people all the time and say, yeah, I got saved, but I have a problem with God. I'm like, let me step a couple steps this way. And let me tell you something truthful. You don't know the God I know. Because once you really know Him, you'll surrender the fact that He is right and you are wrong. Amen? And that's about everything. That's about everything. That's about everything you are, everything you thought you were, everything you think you could be. Listen, when I got saved, I said, God, here the rights are to Kevin. Whatever You want me to be, I'll be. Amen? Whew. Hard to do, but it works out pretty good. Amen? God, I'd love to like run off in about 20 different things right there. God chased me. Anybody had that radical God that chased you? Huh? Anybody? I had a radical chasing God. I had one of them gods where I ran and ran and ran and I hid behind stuff that I knew. I thought, God, You will never come here looking for me. Amen? Can I give you all an illustration? Looks like this. You run over here. Scoot over, Otis. Scoot over. You're sitting with people you shouldn't be sitting with. And you're sitting there doing things you shouldn't be doing. We're not going to do that, Otis. You're like, God will never find me here. He can't find me in this spot right here. I'm hit up. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see you with my buddy. Hey, bro, what's going on? I look over and guess who's sitting right there? It's God. It's God. God chased me. I went to parties and done things. I've walked out of places that I should have never been in. Walked running into somebody and somebody looked dead at me and say, you're not supposed to be here. God's got a calling on your life. That's 10 years before I even knew. I had friends of mine who would be at places with me and say, you're not supposed to be doing this. You're different. I'm not gonna be quiet. You're ruining everything. But it was just God. He chased me. He's a radical God. Some of y'all are going to leave this place, this mountain, this town, and you're going to run to places. Matter of fact, some of you are going to try to run home and hide in your living room. God will show up in your living room. He'll show up in your living room. He'll convict you, break you, and send you back here. Some of y'all said, I ain't never going to go back to church. I don't like the pastor. I don't like the music. I don't like that. And that ain't that. And there you see it. Still don't like them. But God said, right? Whew. Y'all feel that? I had a little heat on that one. Sorry. God chased me. God saved me. Did he save anybody? Any of y'all, have anybody in here got over that yet? I ain't never going to get over that. So when are you going to get over that? I can't even believe it still to this day. I mean, I still try to think, God, I mean, really, do you want me? Do you want somebody like me? You know the way I think. You know the way I talk. You know some of the stuff. And still, God, I saved you. S-A-V-E-D, saved. That's finished. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't mess up your doctrine, but I'm saved. And I'll tell you this right here to your face. One day you're going to see this ugly mug in heaven. You are. I don't know. Listen, you are. Well, how can you speak so certainly? Because one day, August 28th of 04, I repented of all my sins and asked God to be the Lord of my life. And guess what? From that day forward, I'm an eternal being. I am in heavenly places with Christ Jesus today. I'm an ambassador. I've got dual citizenship. I am a resident of earth, and guess what? I am a resident of heaven. One day, I will make my full residency in heaven. Hallelujah. Y'all don't get excited about nothing in here. I mean, my goodness. One day, I'm going to be set free. You are too. God saved me. God wants me. Man, I don't know about you, but I've been picked last. Oh, goodness gracious. Some of y'all are so talented. I have been picked last. All right, who's going to take him? Now, on the inside, I was thinking, y'all just hit the lottery. No, y'all don't get it. God wants you. Sinner you, broken you, drunk you, jail you, prison you, lying you, thief you, godly, bitter you, angry you, talk about everybody you, gossip you, thief you, sex before marriage you. Did I get them all? No. He wanted you too. Amen. He wants you, with all your imperfections, to serve him. Do you know how many times I sit on that front bench right there and say, God, forgive me. I'm about to walk up there. And if you ain't on it, God, I don't want to stand up there, because standing up there without you covering me is a miserable idea. God still wants you. God is radically in love with me and you. Radically. You say, no, I ain't right. God, who held every star in his hand and cast them out into the universe. God, who spoke the whole world into existence in 6 days. Amen? Got so small that God got so small that you could look at him through a microscope. Got in the womb of a virgin girl for you. Walked around for 33 years on this earth for you. Amen? Died on a cross for you. It's incomprehensible that God, every angel in heaven, leaned off out of eternity, looking into time, watching and going, why is this happening? Because he loves them. He loves them. That's the only reason. And from the cross of Calvary, out of his mouth, he speaks it, Father, forgive them. And it goes in two directions. Man, if y'all don't get happy, look, it went to the old, it went to Abraham all the way back and got everybody that believed in God. And it went into the future and hit everybody in this room. On the day that you said, God, forgive me and be the Lord of my life. When he said, forgive them, it went out in two directions. In the past and in the future to reach everybody who would believe. That's your God. 3 days later, he radically got up. He stayed in the tomb for 3 days. Why? That way when somebody lays your body in the ground and says, that is the end of so and so, because he was raised up, we will be raised up. My God, he radically loved you. He didn't die because he wanted to die. He died because you'll die. He died where you don't have to be dead. A lot of people stop right there and say, that's the gospel. Not even close. This same Jesus. So they took him, and all of a sudden Jesus was raising up into the sky, and they were all looking at him going up, and the angel come down and said, what are you guys looking at? This same Jesus will return in like manner. Amen? So what it means is he went up that way. He's coming down that way. And once he comes down that way, it's over. And everybody believes goes with him. Amen? Whew. He radically loved. He's in radically in love. God proved it. He died for me. He forgave me before we ever got together. He waited on me. He used every. Listen to this. I want y'all to get this before I close. We only got through three verses, not four. Let's all stand as they come get a song. I want y'all to get this before I close. I want y'all. Can y'all hear me? Look at me. Look at me. Y'all see me? I see you? Watch this. I put in there that he waited on me, and he let me run, and he let me go, and he let you go and do everything that you was going to do. Right? I want to make this very, very clear to you. God didn't send you down that path of sin. He didn't. He didn't send me down my path of sin. He let me go. Amen? He let me go. You know what he did? He found me at the end of myself. And he saved me. And when he saved me, he said, Kevin, I didn't want you to go through that. I didn't want you to use drugs. I didn't want you to go through the pornography. I didn't want you to go through the women. I didn't want you to lie. I didn't want you to cheat. And I don't want you to steal. But you did. But I've been trying to save you your whole life. And now that you have been saved, I've been waiting on you. You're going to reap what you sow on some things. Amen? Some of you, I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to reap what you sow. But since I've saved you, this is the peace of God. I'm going to use everything about your past to save other people and to glorify myself. God will take everything that you were ashamed of, guilty of, embarrassed about, everything. You know what he'll do? I will work that to my good. Is there anybody in here who let God save them, and he took everything you went through and he made it somehow in a way that now he can glorify himself and reach people that were in the same condemnation. And you always stand there going, that's not who I am anymore, but that's who I was. Just talking about Jesus and showing my scars. Just talking about Jesus and showing people my scars. Some of you this morning said, well, why in the world would God use somebody like you to be a preacher? I've been asking him that same thing for about 15 years.
Man.
It keeps coming back this way. I wanted you to be a preacher when you were 8 years old, but you ran until you were 30. The calling still remains, but you've got to go through some stuff because you did some stuff. But I'll still use you. Some of y'all need to know this. God still wants you.
Amen.
Imperfect you. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all need to realize this too. Some of y'all need to uncover your scars where other people can see you got some, because they need the healing. They ain't got scars. They got wounds. They're still open wounds, and they don't think God can heal them. Some of y'all need to reveal some of the scars you have for somebody else to heal their wounds. Let's go.